afternoon. Welcome in. WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, you at 617-779-7937. Nice to have you with us here today on a pretty nice day here in the Commonwealth. 65 degrees and sunny. Hope you enjoyed the Aurora Borealis last night. I couldn't see it. Did you see it?
No, I didn't.
I didn't see squat.
I didn't either. And I saw all these people taking pictures with it in the background and everything. And I feel like I told you the other day I don't really have FOMO.
Yeah.
I got a little FOMO right
now.
Got
a little Aurora Borealis FOMO.
Yeah.
I live in the sticks, right? So I figured I'd definitely be able to see this. Well, you live in the city, you know, there's all the city lights and the pollution.
When was
and all
it?
That crap. It was 7:50 last night. I don't know. It was right after we got back.
So I was like driving home.
Yeah. And I remember there was a nice, I was driving along to get back towards Dedham. And I remember driving along Charles River. It was a nice sunset. And I thought, oh, that's nice. But when I get home, I'll certainly be able to see these northern lights here. I got home. I didn't see a damn thing.
So I may have seen a portion of it because there was definitely a nice, like, pink sky at night, sailor's delight kind
right.
of sunset. Was that potentially blending with the Aurora Borealis?
I don't know.
Whatever the hell it is?
I have no idea. All I know is I didn't see
any cool picture. I know it's not on my IG or anything right now.
I looked out the front of my house, the back of my eye. I did not see anything. I saw nothing out there. So there you go. But it's a big day today. We are just 48 hours away from May Day. You know it's serious because Andy Hart is not wearing a visor today. So you know that this is a very serious program.
And
that
I got orange.
Here. And you got the orange on as well.
You will never get more energy than the Friday before Drake May's debut, and I got orange on. Because I'm like Tiger in red. Orange is my color. I feel energy. It, like, oozes through my veins when I wear orange. So I am ready to carry your ass if you're a little tired.
I am a little tired.
Okay.
My son kept me up very, very late last night, but that's neither here nor there. We were all waiting to. We were all very disappointed by the lack of northern lights out in the backyard. But
oh,
May Day.
According to Twitch, sorry, but
what?
Answering our questions, according to Christy0902, you can really only see it if you take a picture. It's better in pictures than it is in real life.
Oh.
Yeah, you can't see it with the naked eye, really.
Oh, then no wonder I didn't see it. I didn't take any damn pictures.
I didn't even know what I was looking for. Yeah, how was I supposed to know that? All right, fine. So all those people who took pictures were just pointing their camera at the sky and taking a picture and hoping it would look cool. None of them could actually see that. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, pretty much for the most part. And it's funny because I just found this out within the past, I don't know, 1 to 3 years. And I, too, thought it was just something that you could see with the naked eye. But no, it's not. You need a certain lens on
what
your camera.
What a scam. It's like looking at an eclipse with the stupid glasses. Like, I don't care. Whatever. Fine. Northern lights. Mm. If you look in a camera and take a picture, don't care about it anymore. Didn't really care about it that much. I had FOMO, but now I don't care at all. You couldn't even see it. You had to take a picture, then look at the picture.
Now
that
we have
sucks.
Reports in the Twitch chat.
I don't know.
Now Radio Chick 81 has chimed in that this was a very strong one and you could see it with the naked eye.
Well, I couldn't see anything, so it doesn't matter.
Faint with the naked eye.
Anyway.
Jesus H.
The day is going to arrive. We are, the Aurora Borealis or not, we're going to be seeing Drake May on Sunday. We're all going to be seeing that in the northern skies or wherever we're looking. And what we want to open up with here today at 617-779-7937 is the expectations versus the reality, because I think everybody has very high expectations at this point. And if you don't have high expectations, you're at least energized by the idea that this could be an improvement, that this could be something that turns the season around even. I think that there's been talk of that out there. You're 1-4. It's still early enough that you could make something out of this season if Drake May plays well enough. Is that an expectation that people have out there? And what's the reality of what he's walking into, what he's going to be surrounded by, what he is as a player and a quarterback at this stage in his career, which I think is an important part of this that people are really overlooking. I think anyone who's talking about Drake May is either saying, yep, he's going to go in there and he's going to be better than Jacoby Brissett. And because he'll be better than Brissett, this team's going to be better. He's going to elevate everyone. And this is going to be a much more watchable product. Right? That's the optimist what you've been hearing.
And
for the negative Nancys, and as some, I think the truth
he's gonna
may be,
break.
He'll break. He's got nothing around him. The offensive line's going to be letting people through. The receivers can't catch. They can't separate. They can't do this. They can't do that. He's not ready. There's been some of that, too. He's not ready. The reason they haven't put him out there yet is because he hasn't been picking up the offense. There's things he's still learning. He's still a very raw talent. So, you know, he might not have all the abilities and instincts ready to go out there and play quarterback in the NFL yet. And I think that's one, when I hear all the pessimists, and I'm not one of these pessimists. I wanted him to play, and I was maybe pessimistic about drafting him in the first place. But now that he's here, I want him to play. The idea that they kept him off the field for over a month because of him and not because of the team is something that I feel like gets brushed aside by everybody. Well, no, 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 that's not it. It's not because of him. He's good. It's that the O-line's not good enough. It's that the receivers aren't good enough. It's that, you know, they have to lean on the running game so much, and Alex Van Pelt doesn't call a good game yet, and you just don't want to put him out there because it's not going to work. And I think that the people who say you can't put him out there yet because he's not ready to play in the NFL, that's the one. Because we don't know. I mean, we think he's ready. We saw him in the preseason. We don't know, actually, if he can go out there and start and play a full game yet against starters and everything. It's just we haven't seen it. But that's the great unknown. What little we know about Drake May so far, we know from practice reps. We know from preseason. We know from garbage time against the Jets. That's it. I don't know if that paints a clear enough picture for people to really come into this with their eyes wide open and truly believing that, yeah, I know that this is going to go well.
No, you can't possibly.
You don't know that, right? We don't know that.
I'll give you an example. I watched a football game on Sunday at Gillette Stadium where I don't think either quarterback looked like they should have been on the field, that they were prepared to make plays and do the job. So I think NFL coaches, hey, Tim Boyle was on the field. Skylar Thompson, I don't think Mike McDaniel, who's a genius offensive mind, always knows that the quarterback he puts out there is capable and ready to do the job, right? He's gone multiple weeks in a row where I think he's fielded quarterbacks that weren't really ready to do the job. So nobody can possibly know for sure, but you have a hope, you have an expectation, you have a projection. Certainly we know the skills, we know little seeds of potential fruit growing that we saw in the summer. And I will say right off the bat, I don't know if it's propaganda or honesty, but the fact that Gerard Mayo is like, the energy around here is better, resurgent energy. And I believe it because I expected it, because I think that's what happens when you put in a new quarterback. Automatically, people are like, huh? Forget about what they've seen on the practice field. Forget about what they believe Drake May is. A new quarterback is always an opportunity, right? Whether it's Tom Brady for Drew Bledsoe, whether it is Andy Dalton for Bryce Young, whoever it is. Now, some of them bomb.
Right.
And some of them, you got to go a different direction relatively quickly. And I don't know if that would be back to Jacoby Brissett or Joe Milton. We're not going to have that discussion because it's Friday before Drake May's debut. So this is all positivity. This is all dreams and expectations. This, you bought your lottery ticket and you're going to sit down at 1 o'clock on Sunday and you're going to watch those damn numbers be called, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what this is?
Sure.
We're all thinking in our minds about what we're going to spend the $1 billion on, the $888 million on. And then they get two numbers in and you're like, okay, guess I'm not going to have $888 million.
Back to the drawing board, unfortunately.
Right. And that could come on Sunday. And that's where I think we are, because there's hopes. What do I hope for? I hope he goes, you know, upside numbers, 20 of 30 with 260 yards passing, two touchdowns, one interception, and a rushing touchdown. That's what I hope for, because I don't think it's crazy. Obviously, your biggest hope is like, Kirk Cousins, 520 yards. And
right.
Let's not be stupid. What do you hope for? Now, do I expect that he's going to go 20-something for 30 with two touchdowns, one rushing, and only one pick? No, I don't think it's probably going to go that well. I think that's overly optimistic. But the fact that the energy is up, I think, helps his cause. The fact that I feel like teammates may be more invested. Like, Gerard is talking about people coming back to the huddle.
Mm-hmm.
Who comes back to the huddle from the furthest distance with the best opportunity to show a bounce in their step?
What? who comes back to the huddle?
Who comes back to
with
the
a
huddle
bounce in their step?
From the furthest distance with the most opportunity to show a bounce in their step?
Wide receiver who just ran down the field?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Mike Onwenu, when the play is over, is really only like 6 yards from the huddle.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's going to have a massive bounce in his step. You know who might? Hunter Henry, Pop Douglas, Jalen Polk.
Yeah,
those
like
guys.
That. Yeah.
So to me, when he says there's an extra bounce in their step, I read the receivers who are rejuvenated and are like, we can do something. We can actually go out there and look like NFL talent on a football field on Sunday. So I think they are hopeful. Now, they don't know either, because I think I had a dream last night, by the way.
You think you had a dream?
No, I'm pretty sure I had a dream.
Okay.
There was definitely, right before I woke up to pee.
A Drake May dream?
Yep. Absolutely. And it was tight.
Was he dressed like Little Bo Peep?
No, it was just on the field, and it was like one of those tight edits where it was a highlight of Drake May throwing, and then it was a highlight in the back of the end zone, a crossing receiver, and there was a Texan just all over the receiver.
Yeah.
Might have been Polk, and the ball just like the Texan's hands are there, and the ball goes just over the Texan's hand into Polk's hands. I definitely had that dream, and then I woke up to pee.
Weird. Drake May is Vegas has him an over under. You want to know what his over under for yards is?
Sure.
165.5.
Oh, that'd be a new season high for the Patriots, correct?
C.J. Stroud's over-under is 235.5. Now, when it comes to passing touchdowns, Mays over-under for one touchdown, one half touchdown, over a half, minus 128, under a half, minus 102. So they think he's going to have at least one touchdown pass in this game.
So do I.
Or they think that's what's going to get the most action, and yeah. I think that that's probably a smart way of doing it. 165 is low, and I think that speaks to not what they think of Drake May, but what they think about the rest of the team, right? This is a team that offensively has been, in the passing game anyway, abysmal. I mean, it's been an unwatchable mess watching this team try and move the ball through the air down the field over the last 5 weeks. And the quarterback's the most important part of that, but the passing game, as everybody knows, is a multifaceted thing with a lot of different moving parts, and none of the parts have been particularly strong. And that's not going to change, I don't think, out of the blue. It may be that some of these elements of it, and I'm talking mostly about the skill position players here, were in a position where they weren't being seen when they were open. They weren't being seen out of cuts. They may have had a step, but the window wasn't big enough for Jacoby Brissett to feel comfortable trying to get him the ball, which we talked about yesterday. Brissett wasn't about to go make mistakes, and I know he did make some, but that wasn't his MO. He wasn't trying to go deep down the field. He wasn't trying to fit the ball into small windows. He did throw a pick six to Fred Warner, and that was a bad play, but I don't think that that's, you know, indicative of the way that he quarterbacked the team for the first 5 weeks. It was very conservative. It was very kind of, I'll just take the sack, or I'll, you know, run around and just and spike it or whatever. But there wasn't a whole lot of shots. You're going to see shots. You're going to see Drake May taking shots, I think, this week. And you should, because that's what he is. That's what he has been billed as. He's a guy who can be a home run hitter. He can throw on the move. He's got a big arm, and he can hit guys deep down the field. And they haven't had that. And these wide receivers who are out there running these routes in an offense that I don't think is particularly complicated, right? I mean, we both sort of agree that Alex Van Pelt hasn't really put together a McVay, the Shanahan, the McDaniel kind of offense. This is pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
And even with that, it's just been so hard for them to do anything, to be productive in any kind of way. The smallest amount of production, I think, is, you're right, going to absolutely energize that room, and we'll see how good they can actually be. Here's the thing. Even if they're all energized, even if they're all pumped up and they're all feeling themselves, they might still go out there and get shut down by Houston, because Houston's a strong defense, and I still think, even with all the confidence in the world, this isn't a good group of wide receivers. That's not going to change.
So let me ask you a question. You know I love the more likely, the polarizing sort of extreme ends.
Sure.
So in my opinion, that you could potentially have an oh my God game on either end of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, he's a disaster. This offense stinks.
Yep.
He threw three picks, and this is, people were right, he's not ready. Dan Orlovsky, take your victory lap on Monday. Or he could be the oh my God, he threw three touchdowns and no interceptions. He's knocking on the door of 300 yards, and the Patriots just upset this blitzing pressure defense from Houston. He was the better young quarterback on the field, and he was on the field with C.J. Stroud. Which of those oh my God scenarios is more likely?
You're not going to like this, but I think the first one.
Oh, you're terrible.
I think the first one.
Why?
Because Houston's defense is so good, and they just shut down Josh Allen.
Poppycock.
That's why. Did they not shut down Josh Allen? I'm sorry. Did I miss something?
Shut him down.
Last week, did they not body slam
him
through the ground? Did they not hold him to like 9 of 30 passing or whatever ridiculous numbers that was? I know in the second half, they ran off a couple of points. That was mostly because Buffalo turned them over. And I think that's one way that maybe the Patriots can hang in this game, is if the defense is able to turn over C.J. Stroud, who had a fumble lost and a pick last week. And by the way, hasn't been having a great year. C.J. Stroud so far this year has been kind of underwhelming after his big rookie season. So I do think that the Texans are kind of vulnerable there. No Nico Collins, maybe not Joe Mixon, we'll see. But that was the reason why Buffalo was able to get back into that game. For the rest of the game, that Houston defense throttled Buffalo. And we've called Buffalo the best team in the AFC at certain points this year. We're not calling them that now, because they're, what, 3-3? I mean, they've fallen off pretty hard here lately. But watching that performance against a tough Buffalo team and a tough quarterback doesn't have me leaning towards, oh yeah, I think Drake May is going to go out there and have the best game of his life. If it's going to be one or the other, I'm going to go with the first one.
Okay, this may surprise you. I'm going with oh my God, good.
Okay.
Because I'm choosing to believe the energy that Hunter Henry answered the question with Jones and Keefe earlier this week about, oh, he's a great player. I'm choosing to believe Mike Pellegrino and Marcus Jones and Drew Wilkins and all these guys that are talking about the practice field. Alex Van Pelt, 6 for 6. 6 for 6 on blitz calls. Nailed the hell out of that test. He's ready to play. He's and you know what
was
I
it
think?
With virtual reality or was it actually on the field with real players coming at him?
I'm hoping it was on the field with real players.
We don't know that, though, do we?
And I am choosing to think that the Texans might be a little bit under-motivated. Maybe they're taking this a little less serious than they should. Mm-hmm. Coming off a big game against the Bills. They've gotten off to a nice start to the season here. And maybe they're like, ah, rookie quarterback, their line stinks, we'll get after him. Well, guess what? The line was better last week. The line is healthy. The line should be better this week. And if you give Drake May a little time to cook, he's going to cook. So give me the, oh my God, good performance. And everybody at around 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon will be joining the Six Rings postgame show with Fitzy and Hart, where Fitzy won't be the biggest homer on the program.
Now that's
Hart will be celebrating the Drake May debut victory.
I'll believe that when I see it. Even if you do go in there guns blazing homer wise, just imagine what Fitzy's going to be if Drake May goes out there and has a great game. A couple more props here for you. Completions. Over-under on completions on FanDuel for Drake May is 17.5 with the under. The under getting the minus 130 over 17.5 at plus 100 if you're looking for something juicy there, Mr. Optimist. And for attempts, over-under 28.5. So they're saying it's going to be right around 17 for 28 with a touchdown, 165-something yards. And I know that's not what they're actually saying. That's what they're trying to get right. action with. But let's just take that and say that that's his day. 17 or 18 for 29, 166 yards, one touchdown. Are you celebrating that?
Not as much as I'm celebrating my, oh my God, three touchdown performance.
Well, obviously nothing's going to top that, but I'm saying if that's what you get.
If that's the real in the middle,
I'll take that.
I will absolutely take that. Yeah. Against the Texans, in what people say is kind of a bad spot, you kind of screwed up, you should have deployed him last week and blah, blah, blah. If that's the performance, first of all, that's a better performance than Jacoby Brissett.
Than he's had all year. I think that's probably true. Right? Yeah, let me go back and look at his numbers, but I think that's probably true.
I'll take that in his first ever taste of NFL action against a blitzing, aggressive, pressure defense in the pass rush. Absolutely. I will take that. I will celebrate that and say if that's step one and you're expecting him to grow, like we've seen the other rookie quarterbacks grow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, yep. Bo Nix are all growing. They're getting better. They're learning. I will absolutely take that because he'll get better. And the competition might get worse, and you combine those, and all of a sudden you get a nice big boy quarterback fun
the
story.
The closest that Brissett came to those numbers I just gave you was against San Francisco. He was 19 of 32, 168 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. By the way, Drake May for interceptions on FanDuel. Will he throw one? Yes or no? Yes is minus 146. No is at plus 112. So they're expecting a pick in there, too.
Yeah, I kind
of am, too. Pretty similar to what we're looking at right now. Like 19 to 32, 168 yards, a touchdown and a pick is basically what Brissett did against the San Francisco 49ers, and we all thought that kind of sucked, didn't we?
For Jacoby Brissett. The pro-ready gives us the best chance to win veteran who should know better and do better and be better. All of that. Who's right. Played in Alex Van Pelt's offense and all those things. This is the green, young, number 3 overall pick, who's raw, his footwork's terrible, and Dan Orlovsky will tell anybody who'll listen that this is such a catastrophic mistake, and it's like abuse of their quarterback and all that, that he puts up those numbers the same as the veteran. I'll take that as a nice starting point, and probably a realistic starting point.
Realistic, right? Yes, because it's his first game.
Yeah.
And these other rookie quarterbacks you see out there performing well right now didn't have great debut games. None of them did. Daniels didn't, Williams didn't, Nix didn't, the other two haven't played, so like, you know, it takes a while to build up to what they're at right now through a month and a half or whatever. And I think that's part of the reason why people like me are frustrated that May didn't start the year. You know, he should be well along at that point, especially for someone who's considered a more raw product that's got to be molded and, you know, formed into this good passer. So that's another thing we'll keep an eye on for sure as we watch these other quarterbacks and see how they look. You just said that Dan Orlovsky is one of the many people in the chorus saying that this was a bad idea and that starting May will be a disaster. Mike Lombardi. Marty said that as well on the podcast with Bill Belichick over at Underdog, I believe. Was that podcast? Or am I mixing up the podcast?
Yeah, the Underdog one with Patricia Lombardi Belichick.
Yes, he's got all these podcasts now,
yes.
So it's hard to keep track of them.
Which was probably more entertaining than the Let's Go one that I listened to that almost drove me off the road.
Oh, yes, with all the old guys.
Let's go
just
to sleep.
Bunch of old guys all talking about how cool it is to be old. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll get to your phone calls, and we'll hear that Mike Lombardi sound in just a minute, and we'll discuss what's going to happen here if the optimists are right or if the doubters are right. That's all coming up right after Stiz tells you what's trending.